Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nida, daf mem test. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the second Mishnah in this parak, continuing with the following Mishnahs and the theme of the opening Mishnah, which discussed a concept that it's possible to have one without the other, but the other one can't be, which we described the two simanim, the upper simanim, the lower simanim of a girl when she reaches maturity, which we said it's not possible for the upper one to be without the bottom one, but it's possible for the bottom one to be without the upper sign. So similarly, the following Mishnahs continue on that theme that one could be independent of the other, but the other one cannot be. As the Mishnah says as follows, a similar concept we find is the following halacha. Kol kli cheres shuhu machnes. Any earthenware vessel that lets liquid come into it, meaning when you put it onto water, there's a large enough hole which the water would enter into that hole. So then, most definitely, might say for sure that if you put water in the vessel, that the liquid would drip out from the vessel. Now, but says the Mishnah, but v'yesh, but there is sometimes it has such a small hole, shemaitzi, where the liquid would drip out, but ve'ena machnes, but it wouldn't come into the vessel with that small size of that hole. And the Gemara is going to explain what's the halachic relevancy of that differentiation. Similarly, another halacha, along these same lines. Kol aver, any limb, let's say an extra finger, if a person has a sixth finger, if there's a fingernail on that finger, then yes, bayetzim. Most definitely, that means to say that there is a bone in that extra limb, and therefore it's considered a distinguished member of an aver of a person's body, and therefore it's going to be metami in the oil, even if it doesn't have the requisite shear, which as the Gemara elsewhere tells us that ivarm elim shear, a limb doesn't have a measurement, and even if it's less than the shear of generally, let's say, of mace being metami in the oil, which is a kazayas, even if it's less than that, since it's an aver, so since it has a fingernail, so most definitely then it has a bone. But, and therefore, when it has both of those, that's considered an aver chashav to be metami in the oil. But v'yesh, yesh b'yatzim, but there are those when you can have an extra, if someone has a sixth finger that has a bone, the ain't b'yitzi part, and it won't have a fingernail. And that's not going to be considered as an aver if it's an extra finger. No. That's only, as we said, if it's an extra finger. If it wasn't an extra one, even if it's one of the five fingers, even if there's no fingernail, it's still a limb and then would contaminate in an oil, even less than a shear. But that's what I'm saying, that you could have one without the other, but the other one you can't have, and therefore if it has a fingernail, for sure it has a bone, and then it's going to be considered as an aver to contaminate the oil, which is not the case if it doesn't have a fingernail. Another idea. Kalamatami midras. Whatever is a kli that's going to contaminate as medrash, which is when a zav or a zava steps or sleeps or sits on a vessel, that it gets a tumah of medrash, which it actually takes on the same tumah as the zav or zava themselves, so then metame tmei mace, then it's going to have also the halacha of tummy from coming in contact with a corpse. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, you can't have a vessel that's fit to be moish of a zav, to be a sitting place, a vessel for a zav, that it's going to have a name of a vessel, and to say that it won't be considered kli to be rowed, to be eligible to contract other tummies. It most definitely will have that. Now, the reason why we picked specifically the tummy of mes is because we're just comparing to that of the medrash hazav, which is an avatum, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. Whatever is fit to be an avatuma by medrash hazav is fit to be an avatuma. In what type of circumstances? If, let's say, a dead person touches it, or if it becomes tummy in the oil mes. Now, however, but v'yash, but you could have a bona fide vessel which could contract old tumas, shemitame tmei mace, that could even become an avatama through a dead person, but v'ein mitame medrash, but it will not become an avatama through a zav sitting or stepping in it, as Gemara is going to explain that. So that's the same idea that we find that certain times one will have the other, but one will not be with the other one. So nothing more explains the halachas of our Mishnah. The opening of halacha said that you could have a vessel that will be machnes, and then it's going to be maitzi, but you can have those that are maitzi and not machnes. So what's the halachic relevancy? Says the Gemara, machnes, this that a vessel could have liquid come into it through the hole, is pasla mechatas. That makes it invalid to sanctify the purification waters that are made with the ashes of the paraduma, which the Torah tells him, Amin b'yotes mayim chayim el keli, has to be fresh waters from a spring that go into a vessel, and if it has a hole the size that liquid would come into it, that's not considered, quote, a kli. So it's possible for the purification waters of the paraduma. Upasal mishum gistra. It also becomes invalidated most definitely if, let's say, a shard, a gistra is the earthenware shards, which is still fit to you, have some utility, and therefore on some level it could be makabel tumah, as the Gemara teaches in Chulin Daf Nadal Mabez, that regarding the broken pieces, there are certain measurements that it could become tame. What we're saying is, but for sure these shards, if they get a hold of the size of Koinis Mashka, that liquid would come into it, for sure it loses the status of even being considered as a gistra, and this can be tar from old tama, even for, and the reason for that is because even a bona fide vessel, when it gets the whole the size of Koinis Mashka, is going to be batel, for sure, I'm going to shortly explain this halacha a little bit more, of gistra, the shard, where it has a Koinis Mashka, for sure it's going to be possible. Now, however, mighty, but let's say when it has only a small hole, where only liquids would come out from it, would don't come in through the hole, that's kashal mechatas. That is valid for the purification waters of the paradumen because that's a bona fide vessel, because such a small hole does not nullify from being considered as a kli. But apostle mishum gistru, but it's going to be invalidated as a shard, which is if a shard gets a hole, even the size of just liquid coming out from it, it is nullified, it can't be utilized anymore in its status as gistru. Which, as the Gemara explains a little bit more, Amar Abbas, he says, Shainin, we learned, the halachal meshim esinai, kli cheres, earthenware vessel, shiuroi, its measurements, meaning the least of its measurements of a hole that would nullify it from being considered as a vessel, is b'kainis mashka, is the amount of liquid that liquid would come into it. That's the first level of measurement nullifying it from being a vessel for that of the mechatas, of the purification waters of the paraduma. As the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos outside the Hima Beis, there's five different levels of measurements for an earthenware vessel. If it develops a hole the size that liquid would come out of it, so that's only as we're explaining our Gemara, that'll purify it from becoming considered tame as a vessel, as a gistra, as a shard. But it's still going to be considered as a kli, even for the to be mekadosh the mechatas, the purification waters for the paraduma. So that's not considered. We're not considering moitzi mashka. The first one is if it gets a hold the size of liquid coming in. That's when you can't use it anymore for the waters of the mechatas. Now, but it's still considered a kli for other halachas. Now, when it gets a hole a little bit bigger the size of a small root, then it already is considered a hole big enough in the vessel that if there are zroim, if there are seeds inside of it, that they're not considered detached from the ground. It's already considered as if it's attached to the ground because it's not a vessel that's blocking. It has a hole in it, and it's like as if they're planted in the ground, and therefore it's not going to become tame to become susceptible to tame as zroim when they're only detached from the ground. We consider it as still attached, but it's still considered as a kli for the laws of tuma. The reason for that is because you could still carry olives inside of it, which are bigger. But once it gets a hold the size of that, an olive would fall out of it, then it's tar from being considered as a kli to mekabel tuma of kalim until you designate it for something bigger, like for pomegranates. But then if it gets a hold the size of a pomegranate, that pomegranates would fall out, then it's tar from anything. It's not considered as a kli for any halacha whatsoever. So it comes out that, as our Gemara is saying, that Kainis Mashka, if liquids would come in through that hole, that's the lowest level regarding the halachas of a kli cheres, because regarding if just liquid would come out of it, that would nullify a vessel. And that's what Rav Asi says. Because of Alei Amru, Maitzi Mashka, we didn't say the halacha that if liquid would just come out of it, that does nullify it. That's El Le'ini Gistra Belvad. That's only regarding a shard, only over there, where even though liquids wouldn't come into it, it's already bottled once liquids would come out through it. My tem, what's the reason? So Amaz Dutch B'Rid Rav Nachman, because he says Lafisha Ein Oimrim Havi Gistra LeGistra, because we don't say bring a shard for the shard. When it develops a hole the size that liquids would come out of it, so then we're not concerned for it anymore. No one uses it anymore. You just throw it out, and therefore again, that's why we don't consider it as a halacha abakeli anymore. Because you don't say, oh, bring another shard to put beneath this shard to receive the liquids that are dripping out of it. Now, however, but regarding a full regular vessel, when it develops a hole the size of Moitzi Mashka, the liquids come out of it, then they don't nullify it at all. Because people are concerned, it's a good vessel. And they don't break it and they utilize it. What they do is, and this is actually how we understand the halacha of Gistra itself, is they say, okay, bring a shard and put it beneath it so that when liquids drip out of it, then you could receive the hole from the, and therefore that's why Moitzi Mashka is not mevatel the kli, even for the mayim chayim of the mechatas, for that kli. And that's what, when you designate the gistra for that purpose, so then you use it for that. But when the gistra itself develops a hole, the Moitzi Mashka, so not using that anymore, because then you have to put a gistra beneath the gistra, that you don't do, so therefore that's mevatel the gistra, but for kli shalom, you only mevatel it when it has kikoinis mashka. Tanabam in the Brisa that says, okay, Ketzed Boitkin Klicheres. So how do we inspect a earthenware vessel? Lay the imnikah b'koinis mashkim lab. So we said there's different halachas, and the first one for regular kli is when it's koinis mashka. How do we assess and evaluate? We see it has a hole, that if it is a hole the size that liquids will come into it or not. So on that says the Braisa, Yavi Areva Maleimaim. You bring a trough of a container full with water, but nice and kadir latech, and you put the pot inside of it. Im kansa, if the liquid comes in to the vessel when you put it in, so be yadush, kadis mashkin, then you know that it liquid would come into it. Vimlav, and if not, be yadush, it might say mashkin. If the liquids are not coming into it, then you know the hole is only big enough they would come out, and not enough to come in, therefore that's not mevatel the kli. However, as we continue to with Beis, Rabbi Yudaim, he says, no, that's not how you inspect it. Because that's a leniency in regards to saying that this is not a kli in regards to the halachas of Tumat Tahara. Because when you're pushing the vessel that you're checking into the water, so the water is going to be, through the pressure, going to be coming into the vessel, even if it really has a small hole. Rather, the way you check is as follows. It says, Kaifif az nekederim. You invert, you turn over the lip of the pot. Meaning, you put it on its mouth. And you put it l'teicha inside the trough before you put any water into that trough. Then you fill up the trough with water. And then you have the water float over until it floats over the bottom, which is now on the top of the vessel. Then if it goes in, then you know that it's a type of vessel that liquid will come into it. And if not, then you know it's only a hole that it would come out and it wouldn't come in, and then it would be a valid vessel. Because now, as the Gemara is actually going to explain this halacha later on, water is not being pushed and forced in, it's just going to go in, versus when you're pushing it in, like the way the Tanakhama said, that's going to be coming in only because it's pushed. Or he says another approach, what you could do is shayf sal gabi ur. You put this pot with liquid on top of the fire. Ima or mamida, if the fire contains that the liquid in the pot doesn't come out, so then you do it, then you know that it's a small hole, and it's not fit that liquid would have come in through the hole, and it's only shemaitzi mashke, it's only the type of hole that liquid would come out, and because the fire, it's can be keeping it from coming out. But vimlav, but if not, if the fire can't contain it and it's still dripping out, biyaduish amathnas mashke, then you know it's really a bigger hole, and liquid would even come in through that hole, and therefore not a valid kli. Rabbi Yisim, he says, no, afle shayv sal gabi or, he says, no, you don't even do this approach of Rabbi Huda, the second approach, of putting it on the fire. He says, b'mneisha u'mamid, this is because the fire would contain it, that it would, the liquid wouldn't come out, even by a large hole. So that's not a valid test. Ale shayv sal gabi arem, it's rather you have to use something less intense than fire. You put it onto coals and burning ashes. Im remetz mamid, if the ashes, the hot ashes, contains that the liquid from coming out, then you know it's not really such a big hole, it's only the type which would let liquid out. But if it's not even containing it, then you know that it's such a big hole that liquid would even come in through that hole. Another inspection, he says, what you could do is that if, let's say, you put water into it, and it's dripping drip after drip, then you know that it's really a big hole. Because even if it was coming out, but it wasn't coming drip after drip, that would be mitzi mashka. But if it's coming out drip after drip, then you know it's really big, and it would even come, that the liquid would come into it. Says the Gemara, as we had mentioned in passing, ma'ikabin tanakama and Rabbi Huda, what's the difference between the two first opinions, that of tanakama and Rabbi Huda? Tanakama says you could push it into the trough and see if it comes in. Rabbi Huda says no. Says you have to invert it, and then fill it up, and let's see if it goes by itself when it floats on top of the bottom. So Amauli says it's kinis al-dehatchak kibinai. The difference between them is if it comes into the vessel through that hole, through pressure. That's the difference between the Tanakama hole, that would be considered that it is kinis mashka, as we explained, and therefore he held it's valid. Rabbi Yehuda held that's not a good test, and therefore he says that you can't do it that way. Now the Mishnah continued to the next halacha and says, kol eiver sheish beit tziporin v'chulu. Any limb that has a fingernail, like we said, okay, then we know if it sure has a bone. But it could have a bone without a fingernail. Again, the same concept of the previous Mishnah. So the Gemara explains that yesh bei tzipayrin, if it has a fingernail, even if it's an extra finger, like for example a sixth finger, so mitama b'mago u'b'masa u'b'oil, then it will contaminate through being touched, being carried, or being in the same oil, because it's considered a distinguished limb. Even if it doesn't have an olive size of flesh, it's still going to get contaminated in the same oil, because the halach is, as we said in Daf Mem Gimel Beis, a var, main limb share. Limbs don't have a measurement, it's considered a limb. And if it doesn't have to have a share of a kazayis, so it can be contaminated even in oil. Now, but yesh be'etzim, be'emit tziparin, but if it has a bone, this extra limb, but it doesn't have a fingernail, that's not considered as an aver, as a limb. But however, it will contaminate by being touched or by being carried, like the halacha of any etzim kisara, any bone from a dead person the size of even a barley corn, because because here we said it does have a bone, which contaminates by being touched or being carried, but it does not contaminate by being in the same oil unless if it had an olive size of flesh, because I is possible. Which that halacha is that if it's etzim kisa'ira, it's matame b'magav masav and apoil. But if it has a kisa'ira basa, then for sure it's going to be matame because it has an olive size of a dead person. Now, but again, this is only talking about as a sixth finger. But if it wasn't an extra finger, then most definitely it would contaminate as a limb in the oil, even if it doesn't have a kisa'ira basa, because even the extra finger, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, if it would be in the same level as the other five fingers, it would be considered as a limb. So, therefore, it's only that it's an extra limb, and that's where we're saying that if it only has a bone, it's not matam ba'el, if it doesn't have a kezayis of basa. Now, Amr Chizda, as we had just mentioned in passing, he says, Davazer Rabbein HaGadol Amr. The following thing, our great teacher, that of Rav, said, and Hamakam Yi Ba'azri Hashem should help him, Etzba Yisera Sheyesh Ba'etzim Ba'im Ba'itzipar, an extra finger, a sixth finger, that has a bone and doesn't have a fingernail, Matam Ba'maga Ba'masav in Matam Ba'el, somehow luckily like we're talking about, contaminates by being touched and being carried, but not in the oil. Now, Amar Rabba Ba'bachonam, Rabbi Yechon, he qualifies, and this is Ukashein Nisperes Agabayad. This is only if it's not counted on the hand, meaning it's not in the same row as the five fingers and then another sixth. That's when we say that it's not matam ba'el, but if it was on the same row, then actually it would have the same halacha as the other fingers, and there would be matam ba'el. Mishnah continued, it said another similar kayitzi by there, called matam medrus b'chul. Whatever contaminates as a kli of medrus, for sure contaminates as a kli for other things like tamei meis, but some could be matam meis, and not as medrus. So the Gemara explains, called the chazi la medrus, matamei tamei meis. Whatever's fit from being tamei as a tamei of medrus, of being stepped on or sat on by a zav or zava, so it contaminates as a tumah from a dead person, meaning if a dead person touches it or in the same oil. But v'yesh mitame b'tamei meis, but there are certain kalim that could have a tumah of a tamei meis, but v'eim mitame medrus, but it won't have the tumah of medrus. Says Gemara Lasuye Ma, what's that coming to include? Lasuye, that comes to include the following vessels: asa, betarkev. These are vessels that are measurement vessels, which they don't have a tumah of medrus hazav to then contaminate people or vessels that touch it. It will be tame because the zav is touching it, but that's going to make it into a rishon, but it won't make it into an avatum. Now, by a mess, it will make it into avatum. But regarding the laws of a zav sitting on these vessels, that, and since he's not a dead person, it will only make it into a rishon, but not make it into an avatum, because the medrus of a zav usually takes on the tum of the zav himself, but these don't have a lach of tame medrus. The time like learning a brisa. Pasuk says, and if someone sits on the vessel which the Zav sat on, so it's a Medrus Zav, so he has to wash his garments, and he has to bathe himself in the water, and then he's tummy until the evening. So, says the Braisa, you would think if someone takes a saw, which is a measuring type of a tool, and he turns it upside down, and he uses it as a chair to sit on. Or a tarkav, which is another type of measuring vessel, he turns it upside down, and he sits in it. You would think, hey, tell me that it would have a tuma of medrus azav. That's what the pasuk continues and says, asher yeshiv alav azav, that which the zav sat on, which tells us mishum miyuchad leyeshiv, only that which is established and it's designated for sitting. That's where it becomes like the pasuk tells us an avatuma, because therefore whoever sits in it has to wash his garments and so on. Yatzezeh, that excludes this case that we're describing. Where we tell the person, hey, get up, let us do our work with it. This is not meant for a chair. This is a bowl. This is something for us to do work with. That's the case that we're saying that you could have, that it could have a tumma of mess. It's a regular keli, but it won't have a tumma of medrus because it's not meant for sitting. Now, we continue with the next mission. I continue on the same theme of kayetzibay, that kalaro lo din nefashas. Whoever is fit to sit on a court to judge capital punishment for execution purposes, for sure that he's ro lo din nemamnas. So he could educate a court case regarding monetary law. But v'yesha ro lo din nemamnas, but you could have someone that's fit to be a judge for monetary law, vein ro lo din nefashas, but not fit for sitting on a court case of capital punishment. So the Gemara says, Amar Behudi says, what's that coming to include? Lasuya mamzer, that's coming to include an illegitimate child who's from an inappropriate marriage, who he's fit to be a judge for monetary law, but he's pasul for din nefashas, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, aflam advav mabez, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, kulach yafar yasi umum meimbach, you can't have any blemishes, and this is considered being a blemish, to be on the Sanhedrin to judge capital punishment. Now the Gemara asks, however, Tanin Chadizim already learned this halacha once before in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, Hakol Ksherin Lo Din Imam. That's everyone is fit, including, like we're saying, a mamzer to judge for monetary law. Vein Hakol Ksherin Lo Din Nefasha. Not everyone is fit to judge capital punishment. And Vavinba, we had asked, Lasu Yimei, what's that coming to include? From Rebbe Yehuda, says, Lasu Yimei, that's coming to include a mamzer. So what's our Mishnah coming to teach? Says the Gemara, you're right, Chadu Lasu Yiger. One of the Mishnahs is coming to include a convert who is also kosher to judge din imamnes, but not din nefashas. And b'chad lasu imams, another one's coming to include imams. But tricha, we needed both mishnais. Diash min and ger, had we only had one extra mishnah, which would have taught the law of a ger, shundero law of a bukal, we would have said, okay, yeah, he's fit to judge din imamnes because he's fit to marry, a ger can marry into the Jewish people. Of a mamzer, din ro law of a bukal, but a mamzer who's not fit to marry, he's not let him marry a Jewish woman, a mamzer. So then, Nehemiah would say he's not fit to judge din imamnes. I forgot to say that. And Vyash min Mamzer, had we said regarding a Mamzer, Shem Dukasim Tibik Sher, I would say, okay, yeah, the reason why he's fit to judge the Mamzer is because he comes at least from a kosher, from a Jewish seed. His parents were Jewish people. Avigar Dukasim Tibik Psula, but regarding a convert who came from invalid semen, who's from non Jewish parents, Emalai, I would say, is not valid. Tzricha, therefore, is necessary, or it's actually some Rishon has the opposite way, where it's regarding psulim, regarding din nefashos. But either way, ger and that of a mamzer, one has one benefit and one has one pro, one con, and therefore we had to say both to say that they're both pasul for din nefashos and kasher for din mamnes, that of a ger, even though he's from tipa psula, and a mamzer, even though he's in a royal of bukal.